For today's passage, we're going to read through John chapter 1, and we're going to read just through the first 14 verses. You can follow along up here if you'd like, or if you have a Bible, it's about three quarters of the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the last gospel, but not the last book of the New Testament. All right, we got there? Yeah, John chapter 1. Every gospel, if you go into like a medieval church, has a special like animal or like symbol that's associated with it. So Matthew's symbol is a man because it starts with his genealogy. Mark's is a lion because Jesus is in the desert and John the Baptist is in the desert roaring like a lion. Luke is a bull because in the beginning, Zechariah is sacrificing a bull right when Jesus' birth is announced. And then John is an eagle because he is soaring above and giving this like earthly picture, but from a heavenly perspective. And so that will help you understand these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as everybody knows, this week we get to celebrate Christmas. And I'm not sure what your families do for Christmas. Maybe you have like special traditions or special things that you guys do. So one of the things that we do is we all get matching pajamas, and then we dress up in the same pajamas, and then we hang out together. We also get a tree, and then we put decorations on it, and we put a star on it. Maybe some of you guys open presents. I opened a present once when I was maybe like 11 or 12 years old, and the thing that I wanted more than anything else was an electric guitar with an amplifier so that I could make very, very loud music. And then I saw this one Christmas a box that was exactly the size of an amplifier, and I said, "Dad, can I open that box?" He said, "No, you have to wait." And I said, "Dad, please." And then eventually he let me open the box, and guess what it was? It was an amplifier. That's right. So I open up the amplifier, and I plug it in. But if you know anything about music, in order to connect your guitar to an amplifier, you need a cord. but my dad didn't buy the cord. He doesn't play guitar. So I just spent weeks looking at my amplifier, and I was unable to plug it in. And I tried to like hold the guitar really close to see if it could like pick up a connection, but nothing happened. My parents did not really grow up with like Christmas. They didn't get a tree or anything like that. So in our neighborhood, we had all these houses that were decorated with tons of lights and reindeers and Santa Claus. And so it's Santa Claus, the one house. And the next house is elves. And then it's candy canes. And it's white lights and red lights and green lights. And then our house was pitch black. There was nothing happening there. So one day my dad goes, "I'm sick of this. I'm gonna do something." So he goes to the store and he buys some lights. Except he only buys one string of lights that's like 10 feet big. So he plugs it in, and he's like, "Oh, this is not enough at all." So it just goes right around our door. So it's big house with Santa Claus and then reindeer and then elves and white lights and red lights and green lights. And then our little house with a nee, just a little bit. So there's so many like details that come with Christmas that it can kind of be like, wow, there's this, there's that. But unless you take a step back and you really start to think, what are we doing this for? What is the reason for this? It might not really go into your heart the way that it's supposed to go into your heart. And as you know, Christmas is the day that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And maybe some of you guys do something like this, but maybe you have a special way to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Maybe on Christmas, you sing happy birthday to Jesus, or maybe you get him his own little gift and then somebody opens it. But it's really hard to figure out, well, how can we celebrate Jesus' birthday? One thing we can do is take a step back and see, oh, what is the meaning behind all of this? And that's exactly what John does. So we're going to start there. Before we do that, let me pray for us and for the kids. I'm going to hold Otis because my arm is going to get tired at some point. And when that happens, I'm going to say, that's enough preaching. It's time to stop. So don't worry. We'll keep it moving along. Let's pray. Dear God, thanks so much for this time. Help us to listen to your word and help us to remember why we're doing this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 1 is the very first chapter in the Gospel of John. And when you look at some of the words, you should notice that John is telling you, all of you, a story that you have heard before. So let's look at some of the words that he uses. It starts off in the beginning. It says, all things were made. He talks about light. He talks about darkness. He talks about the world. He talks about life. And when you hear all of those words, you recognize, oh, I know this story. I've heard this story in a different place. And the place that it comes up is in Genesis 1. And John is telling us what happened in creation, but he's telling us that story from a different perspective. So if you know, there's a movie out right now that's called Wicked, and it's got Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, and it's telling the story about two magical witches. But if you're old like me, you know that there's an original story called The Wizard of Oz. And Wicked is just a different telling of The Wizard of Oz. And John chapter 1 is the same way. It's telling us something about creation that we didn't know before. And if you read through Genesis 1, it seems like there's just one person, God the Father, who's creating. He's doing all of this work by himself. And when you ask, how does God create in John chapter 1? What does he actually do? He speaks. And he says, let there be light. And then there is light. He goes, let there be stars. Let there be moon. Let there be people. Let there be animals. Let there be earth. And he uses his voice. And so John 1 tells us something very important about these words that Jesus is using. The important thing that he tells us about the words is these are not words like our words, but the word that God the Father uses in Genesis is actually a person, God the Son. And so the new information that's coming in John 1 is the world is not created by one parent, but by a father and a son working together. Now, I'm sure in your houses, sometimes your mom or your dad will be working on a project and you say, can I help? Can I help? And they go, no. And then you say, how come? And then you say, this one has hammers and nails and glass and it's hot. And if you touch it, something is going to, bad is going to happen. And it's going to go crazy. That's right. So sometimes we think maybe creation is like that. One person created it. But what we learn is, no, this is something that was created by a father and a son, by a parent and a child. And when that happens, you get something different. So sometimes, for example, Arlo and I will create something together. So one time we made chocolate chip cookies where we mixed all this stuff together and then we made it. And I've made hundreds of chocolate chip cookies. But can I tell you something? The cookies I made with Arlo were the best cookies that are ever made, right? So that happened once. One time, she put on gloves and she helped me make tonkatsu. So we get raw chicken and then we dip it in flour and then we dip it in egg and then we dip it in breadcrumbs and then we throw it into hot oil. I did the hot oil part because it's a little dangerous. But that tonkatsu was the most delicious tonkatsu in the world. Why? Because inside in the ingredients, there's a lot of love, right? And the same thing is true about creation. When you look and you see tree, you see boy, you see girl, you see harmi, you see a harbi, you see trees, you see sky, you recognize, oh, this is not something that's just made by one person, but it was made by a father and son working together. And inside of that, you recognize, oh, this place is filled with love. And that's what it says in verse 14. There is grace and truth. But the miracle of Christmas is not just that there is creation out there, but something more important happened. Remember, John is telling us something new about Genesis, which is the word that God used to create is not our words, but it's a separate person, God the Son. And in verse 9 and verse 14, we learn something incredible. Verse 9 said the word was coming into the world, and verse 14 said the word became flesh. Now, I'm sure many of you people, especially you younger people, have drawn many a thing. When I was a kid, I used to love drawing. I drew everybody with blue pants and red shirts. And I used to love drawing mountains and beaches. And my favorite superhero growing up was Batman. So I drew hundreds and hundreds of pictures of Batman. And not only did I draw Batman, but I also liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I drew hundreds and hundreds of pictures of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And not only did I just draw all the turtles, but I really only liked one turtle, who was Raphael. So I drew thousands of pictures of Raphael. Now, I know in your house, you probably have hundreds and hundreds of drawings of things that you like. Your favorite foods, your favorite basketball players, your favorite cars, your favorite mountain, your favorite beach, whatever. Now, imagine one day you are looking at one of your drawings, and then you have the ability to jump inside your drawing, and you get to be a part of it. And you look at this dark gray Batman that you drew, and then you walk up to Batman, and you go, "Hello, Batman, I am your creator." Or you look at a picture of spaghetti and pasta that you drew, and you get to jump into your picture, and you get to eat that pasta. And the miracle of Christmas is exactly that. Jesus made the entire world, and at Christmas, he decides, I'm going to jump right in and be a part of everything that I have created. He gets to eat the food that he created. He gets to meet the people that he met. Now imagine that you drew a picture of one of your friends, and you jump into a picture with that person in it, and you go, "Hello, picture best friend. My name is Adeline." But let's say the picture best friend in the picture is not like, "Oh, it's so nice to meet you, Adeline." But they go, "Adeline? Who's Adeline?" And then they turn their back and they walk out on you. And you go, "What? I drew you. How could you not know me? How could you not say hi to me?" And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He tried to go spend time with the people that he created, but they pretended like that they did not know him. Now, that was not true for everybody. In verse 10 and 11, it says, some people saw him and they go, "Oh, this is the guy who created me. This is the one who drew this picture. This is the one who created everything that there is." And for them, it said that they became his children. So, what does the miracle of Christmas mean? There's a very important word that John uses, and this is the last thing we'll talk about. It says that without Jesus, the world was dark. Without Jesus, the world was dark. And once Jesus came in, the world became light. Now, one of the things that does not happen that much living in the city is you never really get to experience like total darkness that much. When I was a kid, when there was like thunderstorms and lightning out, every two times that happened, all of the power in the house would go out. And all of a sudden, the house would turn pitch black. And then how do we know the power was really out? The first place I would always run to is the refrigerator, because the refrigerator has a magic light inside. And when I open the light inside in the lightning storm and the light was off, I go, "Oh my gosh, the power is out." Now some of you, you're sleeping in the middle of the night, and don't forget, on a Christmas Eve, you got to stay in your beds all night, okay? But some of you are sleeping and you wake up and it's pitch black and you go, "Oh, where am I? What's going on? I'm thirsty. And then you get out of your bed, and what do? Bonk! You hit your bed, your foot on the bed. You go, ow! I hit my bed on the bed. And then you turn around, you go, where am I? And you're lost in the darkness. There's a couple of places in the entire world that are in darkness for months at a time. If you go all the way to the edges of the earth, past the Arctic Circle or the Antarctic Circle, there's something called a polar night. And because of the way the Earth's axis tilts, it spins around. And in these places in the world, they don't get daylight for about 30 days. It's dark all the time. And there's a town in Norway where about 2,000 people live. And for a month, it's dark all the time. So what do they have to do? They have to get special lights that mimic the sun. But what do these people say happens when you live in dark all the time? One thing that happens is they start getting very tired all the time. They start getting very sad. And it's something that's a result of how we are created. We're created with something called a rhythm, like a circadian rhythm, so that when we see the light, we start waking up and our bodies feel stronger and we start feeling hungrier. But if we live in darkness all of the time, then we end up feeling like we're confused, we're sad, we're not sure what to do. So if you look through the Gospel of John, people are living in darkness and they feel like they can't know what to do. They're confused, they're sad, and they're unsure. But John tells us Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. Now, what does this mean? Do you think when Jesus was born as a baby that he was glow in the dark? That when the lights went off and they're like, oh my gosh, this baby is glowing in the dark. Or maybe once it's dark out and then Jesus gets a paper cut, instead of blood coming out, it's like a light like shines like crazy in the room and then he can light up the whole room with this finger. Is that what it means? No, of course not. When it says Jesus is the light, what it means is it's like all of a sudden somebody turns the light on. So let me come up with another example. I have two children. One is Arlo and one is Odie Bellotti. And Odie Bellotti's teacher said he can start recognizing some letters. So I said, oh, okay. So I opened up a book and I said, Otis, let's start with the first letter. What's the first letter? A. So I opened up a book. I said, Otis, can you point to the A? And then he's looking and then he points and he points at a truck. And I say, Otis, that's not an A, that's a truck. And then he goes, oh, okay. But you know what happened? Arlo, I have a sweet girl, Arlo, and she is able to read. And so when Arlo opens a book and I say, Arlo, point to an A, she's able to point right at an A. Now, what happened between Otis and Arlo? When Otis opens a book, he sees a lot of fun, but it's a lot of confusion. This jumble word, jumble, 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 picture, jumble, color, jumble, jumble, jumble. But when Arlo opens a book, she has the light of reading. And now she can look at the words and she understands what everything means. And that's the same thing with Jesus. Without Jesus, we kind of look at the world and it's a jumble, 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 confusion. You bump into things, you're sad and you're confused. But when you believe in Jesus, it's like a light has gone off and all of a sudden you can read the world. So this Christmas, what are we hoping for? What do we want to celebrate? John is telling us we have to celebrate that Jesus is the light and he has come into the world. Now, sometimes in your life, even during Christmas break, you might feel like you're living in a darkness. And the darkness might be you're tired or you're confused because of things going on with friends and activities. Maybe you're sad because somebody hurt you or something didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. But this passage reminds us everything that you can see was created by God and by Jesus. And Jesus does not want to leave you tired and confused and sad, but he wants to be with you so much that he jumped into the world and jumped into the picture so that he could be with you. So sometimes when the kids need some extra love and attention, I will leave my big and comfortable bed with nice warm blankets and I'll go into their tiny little bed that's only built for a kid and I squeeze in there and then we have a daddy sleep and then we can sleep with my kids. And I go, oh, sweet babies, how are you guys doing? Jesus is the same way. He has a nice, big, comfortable bed in heaven. But because he loves you so much, he squeezes into your tiny little bed and says, oh, hey, Jordan, how are you doing? How's basketball going? Are you working on your form shooting? Great. And then he'll do that for every single one of us. So this Christmas, I want you to remember that Jesus has entered into the world and is with you even when you feel like you're in the dark or you're sad or you're confused. Jesus is the light. Can everybody say amen? Amen.